First Corinthians 13 is found in the Bibles that you have, 1152. In April of 1954 was the first time I preached a sermon. I have absolutely no idea how many sermons I have preached since. But as far as I know, I have never preached on 1 Corinthians 13. So don't think you're getting a rehashed sermon this morning. The subject of love. The chapter of love. I've read it very, very often. It's very dear to me. We will read it now. Let me read it. Now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am only a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there is prophecy, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be still. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfection disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And then if you would turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. Live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. No truth in the Bible probably comes home with such a force and with such a power as the whole thing of the love of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it starts in the Old Testament. You can just read of God's love there. Listen to Jeremiah 31, verse 3. I have loved thee. I learned this in the King James. I'm sorry. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Wow. How great. But you know, the message is the same when you go to the New Testament. Just listen to what we read in the Gospel of John concerning his love for the Jesus' love for his disciples. In John 15, verse 1, when Jesus knew that his hour was come and that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And we can go to, as God used the Apostle Paul to speak to his church, and the Apostle Paul wrote, and we just read some of those verses right there of Ephesians. But listen again to verse 2. and walking in love as Christ has also loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for our sweet Savior. You know, we could go on and on and on. I have a concordance that doesn't have much of a cover on it anymore, but it's about that thick and it's about this long and so on. And there are pages in it directing us to different words of love in the Bible, because God just speaks about it over and over and over about how much he loves us. It's just overwhelming, and it's just filling my heart with really joy and gladness. So in Galatians 2 verse 20, we read, I have lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What a verse. Galatians 2:20. He loved me. You know, get this. Of all the millions and billions of people in the world, of all of the people from the time of Adam and Eve, or Abel, I guess, was the first person that went to heaven. Of all of the people that God has had born into this world, and all of the people that he has sacrificed himself on the cross of Calvary for. And then he gives me Galatians 2:20. He loved me and gave himself for me. What a statement. What a thing. So the love of Jesus Christ, you know what I have to say first of all? It's personal. It's between me and Jesus. It's personal. He loves me. If I was the only person in the world, Jesus still would have had to leave his home in glory. Jesus still would have had to come here to be born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus would have had to live his life. Jesus would have had to die on the cross of Calvary in order to redeem and to ransom me from all of my sins. Why? Because he loved me. And all love starts with God. All love ends with God. Jesus Christ came to reveal the Father. He came into this world because he loved us personally, individually. The Father loves me. Jesus loves me. The Holy Spirit loves me. And just think of that. He loves me so that I can love others for God. I like what Augustine said, and I quote it. God loves us, everyone, as though we were the only one to love. How great. But you know, when I started out with this here and I read 1 Corinthians 13 and read it over again and again, and then my mind went to, I need a definition. I always need a definition of things. I need a definition of love. And so I go back to 1 Corinthians 13 and I begin to read it over again. And I thought, oh, I've got one. Look, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil. It rejoices in truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And then I thought, wait a minute. That's not a definition. That's what it does. But what is a definition of the love of Jesus? And the verse that I have learned when I was just knee-high to a grasshopper came to mind. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Love is doing. Love is building. Look what Jesus did. He died in order to take all my sins away. He loved me that much that he took all of my sins away. He made me into a new person. You know, and as I looked at this and as I prayed about this and as I let this build, you know, Jesus built me into a better person. I have to be careful with this, but I'm not bragging. But I'm the son of Jesus. He died for me. He made me into that child of the King of Kings. He took all of my sins away. He sanctified me. He justified me. He did everything. And someday he's going to glorify me. But everything that Jesus did on the cross of Calvary for me was to build my faith to his glory. Now always remember, love is building. Take that into your home. Husbands, love your wives to build them up to be the better person. Wives, love your husbands to build them to be the better person. Dad and mother, build your children so that they will be the greatest people in the whole world. Love is not tearing down. Love, that's sin. That's hatred. Love is building. It just constantly builds us up more and more. And think once. It's not only that Jesus died on the cross to build me, but Jesus, you know, let's go back to my definition of John 3:16. God so loved the world. He loves people everywhere. But he builds them through you and me. We have to share the word. We have to go there and show the love of Jesus to them. He loves people of all races, of all kinds. But we have to show it in the way that we love them. I read someplace this week, if the Bible were destroyed and one verse left, pray that it would be John 3:16. Isn't that great? So that we could believe and love and live and serve the Lord. Wow. That leads me to the love of Jesus is a powerful love. The love of Jesus is so powerful that it goes and it seeks sinners. And it brings them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Is that powerful? The love of Jesus is powerful. It saves the lost. Listen to Romans 5 verse 8. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. You know, the Bible speaks that over and over and over again. God didn't choose Foster Brummel because he was so good. God chose Foster Brummel to make him into one of his children, to redeem, to ransom, to make him into a child of God. How did the songwriter put it? Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span. At Calvary, he did it all. In grace, he did it for me. And this thrills me. Why did he do it? And what did it turn out? What did he make me into? The love of Jesus Christ is power in securing saints and taking saints all the way from sin to glory by grace. He does it all. I've had people ever, and I've used this whole thing that, as I did this morning, that you were called to be saints, and I've had people say to me over and over again, I am not a saint. Listen, if you're a redeemed child of God, you are a saint. Do you want me to tell you how many times the word saint is in the Old Testament? 37 times. God calls people in the Old Testament saints. You know how many times he calls them in the New Testament? If my concordance is right, maybe yours has more. 62 times. More than calling you a Christian. You and I have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen. Now, however, I'm on my way to Jerusalem to the service of the saints. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 15:25. He's on the way to do what? What did God call me here for this morning? To minister to the saints in Fellowship Christian Reformed Church. Because you are the saints of God. He has called you out of darkness, out of sin, and he has made you into that child of God. You are the redeemed. You are the chosen one. And, you know, I'm going to tell something. Last Sunday, Greg knew that I had to go Monday for a stress test. And you know what he did? He hugged me. And he said, Saint Foster, Jesus will be with you. When I laid on that table Monday morning, and they put that stuff in me to make my heart go and everything else, I remembered those words. People, that's the way we have to minister to each other. And I guess you all know that I was taken to the ER because I reacted to it. But, you know, all of that. I'm trying to say, people, it means so much to be able to go through difficulties in life when we are told by others, listen, Saint brother, Saint sister, we pray for you, we love you, we want you to know that Jesus loves you and that Jesus is there for you every moment of the day. You know, wouldn't it be nice if after the service I may be able to go with Mrs. Brummel up to the hospital and be able to say to Heather, listen, God has redeemed and ransomed you as a saint, and therefore Jesus loves you, and we love you here at Fellowship Church, and we prayed for you, and we want you to get better because Jesus loves you. Well, look, it's not only that he has called us to be saints, that child of God, that person that he has redeemed by grace through faith, into everlasting life, and that you are the saint of God for all eternity. But only, not only that, the love of Jesus Christ is a growing love. You know, there are so many doxologies in the Bible, and if I, you notice I looked at that clock. There, I wrote down here, in Romans 11:36, Ephesians 3:20, 1 Timothy 1:17, Hebrews 13:20, and 21, 1 Peter 4:11, and Jude 24:25. These are all doxologies, but I can't read all of them because of time. But here you got Ephesians 3:20. I really love this one. Now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. What a powerful one. 26 years ago, almost 27 in next fall. We had a grandson born. And 10 days after his birth, he had bleeding on the brain. And the doctors in Grand Rapids said, if he lives, you'll be a vegetable. And I told our daughter and her husband, he doesn't know that. He's not God. Claim Ephesians 2:20. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, to him be the glory in Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. Claim it. And we did. And a year later, that little boy walked into the doctor's office, and the doctor says, oh, sometimes we get lucky with these. And I heard our daughter and our son-in-law say at the same time, this isn't luck, this is our miracle baby. Yes, because God hears and God answers prayer. And by the way, because of what Mary Seladin did for a long, long time, she won't take credit for it, but she did anyway. And because of that, we watched that little boy that's supposed to be a vegetable walk across the stage and receive his 12th grade diploma, all in answer to prayer, because Jesus, our children and all of us claim unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Yes, that's the love of God in Jesus, and that's because Jesus loves me, and that's because Jesus loved my children, and he loved that little boy. And it's all of that powerful love that he shows to us. And it has to be that it grows and it grows and it goes. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 19, the love of Christ constraineth or compels us. The love of Christ keeps us and our task a going and a going because we love him. We want to serve him and we see all of these things that are happening in our lives because of what Jesus is doing. But you know, people, the love of Jesus is what is that satisfying love. In Revelation chapter 1, listen to what John the Apostle writes, because Jesus is speaking to him. Listen. And from Christ Jesus, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the rulers of the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom of priests and to serve his God and Father. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever, because Jesus loves me. Look what he has done. And John the Apostle knew this and he loved him, and he too could go forth lovingly living and serving the Lord. But just remember, the love of Jesus Christ is a triumphant love. His love makes us what we are, the child of the King. I am a child of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And because of that, I can go forth. It matters not what the trials and tribulations are. It matters not what I have to go through. It matters not that on January 1, 1978, that we were called that our oldest son was not doing well in the Holland Hospital. And by the time we came there in the emergency room and went up to the room where he was supposed to be, that the nurse said, I'm sorry, he's dead. God in his love is there and he takes care of us. And we could take care of his wife. We could take care of his little baby boy that was born 4 months later. Yes, all of this here. Why? Because his love triumphs over us. And the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8, verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We're more than conquerors. Why? Because he loved us. And his love makes us the children of the King, that we may love, live, and serve him. In the Songs of Solomon, we find these words, he brought me to the banquet house, and his banner over me is love. Yes, his banner is over me in love. And the song that means so much to little boys and girls, and I am a little child of God. Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me He who died, heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sins. And he will take me, his little child, out. Jesus loves me. I know. I know. And the reason I know is because his word tells me. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, he says, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and you are saved. And I believe that you are Lord, who has filled my heart with love and understanding, and you have washed and cleansed me so that I may be a child of you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'm here, Jesus, because I want to serve you, and I want this congregation to be able to say to each other, yes, I love you, Jesus, and yes, Jesus, I love each and every one of you, and we should be sharing that so that the world round about us would be able to say, Fellowship Church is the church that really loves Jesus and loves one another. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your word of love. Thank you that you loved us so much that you give us new hearts and new lives. Thank you that you cleanse us from all of our sins in your love so that you can even call us the saints of God, the ones who have been redeemed of all of their sins and that they have been washed away, that we are your children for all eternity. Thank you, Jesus, for all of these promises that we could hear this morning and just apply them to our heart and help us each one to be able to be these living members of your body and to be able to say to the world, yes, Jesus, we know you love us. And yes, Jesus, because you have loved us one and all, we love one another and we want to show it and tell it to the world so that people may come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, apply these words to our hearts. Lord Jesus, help us to share that. In Jesus' name, amen.